Let's start with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you fill my mouth with your words and my heart with your passion. Lord, that I might glorify your name this morning. And Lord, as we listen to your word, Lord, I ask that you make it a power to change our lives, Lord Jesus, to be that transformation in our lives. From glory to glory, righteousness to righteousness. Lord, I ask it in your holy name. Amen. Okay, I better stand to one side, and you won't be able to see the picture. You've seen that before. That metaphor for our relationship with God. The first thing I want to tell you is it's wrong. Totally wrong. Is our God really that small that he fits inside us? How do we imagine God? How do we see God? Is it the old man in the clouds? The Father looking down on us from afar? Passionate about every thought, every movement, everything we do, looking over us? Or maybe that God in the clouds for us is we're holding a big stick, waiting to discipline us. How do we see God? Maybe for you that's God. I've actually got proof that he is God. Go on, next one. Because that one's labelled. And the last one. Or maybe that's God, the female God. I'm afraid I've got absolute proof that God is not female. And it's scriptural. Search the scriptures and you won't find anything in there about fashion advice, recipes, or diets. So God cannot be female. So we're asking the question this morning, who is God? Who is God? And let's start with what the Bible says. The Bible says God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and replied, "This is impossible for me, humans, but for God, all things are possible." And Luke 1, verse 37. For nothing is impossible for God. God is omniscient. He knows all things. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an eternal God, the creator of the whole earth. He does not get tired or weary. There is no limit to his wisdom. He gives strength to those who are tired. To the ones who lack power, he gives renewed energy. Even youths get tired and weary. Even strong young men clumsily stumble. But those who wait for the Lord's help find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. They run without growing weary. They walk without getting tired. And Romans 11, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how fathomless his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to God that God needs to repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he is the creator of all things visible and invisible. Scripture says that he brings out the sun and the stars by number and calls them by name. He holds them in place with his will. And not one is missing. So who or what is God? John 4 says God is spirit, and the people who worship him must worship him with spirit and in truth. Ephesians 2 says that the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, the fullness of him who fills everything. All his church, all his people, all his planets, all his sons, all his worlds. Are you confused yet? Are you having difficulty imagining who God is? You're not alone. Moses had a similar problem. Moses said to God, if I go to the Israelites and tell them the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, you must say this to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, you must say this to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial from generation to generation. So, that phrase, I am. When Moses asked, what is your name? The Hebrew loses something in translation. When we hear that, we think, what do I call you? If I've got to shout to you across the room, what do I shout? It's purely a title. It's just their name we're after. That's not what the Hebrew means. The Hebrew means, who are you? What do you like? What do you do? What do you enjoy? What makes you smile? Who are you? It goes way, way deeper. Now, if that question was asked of one of us, how would you answer it in a sentence? Would you even know how to answer it in a sentence? Because with what we like today, we may not like so much tomorrow. Things change. So who we are, a question that deep, that's something that takes a lifetime to answer, isn't it? To really find out who someone is, you have to walk beside them, year in, year out, for a lifetime. That's partly what marriage is about. Finding someone to walk alongside and really know who they are. So when you look at that question from Moses, it's almost like, I've asked God an impossible question. He can't possibly answer that in 5 minutes. I've been brought up an Egyptian. What do I know about the Jewish culture? What do I know about the past and the history of the Jews? But God does answer it, and he does take it seriously. He says, I am that I am. That's my name, that's who I am. And I can just imagine Moses sitting there thinking, well, thanks for that, that's cleared things up. But what does it mean? The Hebrew for God's answer is Yahweh, spelled YHWH. And it means he is, or he causes to be. So what is God saying about himself? God is saying, he is the one who has no source. He has always been. Yet he is the source of all things. He is saying he is unlike anything we could ever understand. He is good. He is love. He is life. He is apart. He is separate. Yet he is intimately involved in us, in our history, in our future. He is spirit. How do we, who have always lived clothed in a body, understand what spirit is? Something that is not limited by space, but can be everywhere at once. He is in our past, our history. He is in our future. He is in our present. And for God, past, present, and future is all the same, because he is not restricted by time. When he created the world, the universe, and everything in it, first thing he did was put in place the sun and the moon, the timepieces. He started the ticking clock that rules our lives. I don't think any generation before us has been as controlled by that ticking clock as we are now. Whether it's the start time of the show we want to watch, or whether it's a responsibility, a work, somewhere we've got to be, that ticking clock rules our lives from one end to the other. God has no ticking clock. He's outside of that restriction. I think that's the key to this scripture, the key to who God is. You see, I'm an engineer. All my training is in engineering. And engineering is brilliant because engineering lives within rules. And I was taught to read drawings, to understand drawings, and I know that if I put the wiring in, if I put the pipework in accordance with those drawings, I can see from the drawings what's going to happen. I can see the cause, I can see the effect, and I know what the result's going to be. When I flick a switch on, I know what's going to happen. The light's going to come on. And if it doesn't, then I've got a good idea of why it doesn't, and I can start looking for that. Because it lives within rules. It has boundaries. And I can understand. Yet here I am confronted by a God that is so far beyond my understanding, beyond any explanation I have. If I go through a difficult time in my life where the world is hitting me from one side after another, and the world seems to rage around me, I would describe it as a stormy period in my life. And everybody in this room would understand what I'm talking about. because we've all witnessed stormy weather. We've got something we can relate it to. But there is nothing like God in all of creation. If we don't have the language, how do we describe? Well, we describe by looking at the relationship God has with us. And you'll note, when God says to Moses, "I am that I am," he knew the Jews wouldn't understand. So he goes straight on to say, "You must say this to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." Relating to them, that relating himself to them through the relationship he has with them, because they can't understand who he is. They can't describe who he is. In just the same way, all those images are correct. God is the iron at the heart of who I am. That I am in intimate, power-filled relationship with. He is that loving Father, passionately watching every breath, every thought, every movement of his children. He is the friend and father who walks beside me with his hand on my shoulder. Pride in his eyes and a smile on his lips as he encourages me to walk forward into greater and greater maturity. He is the mother that nurtures and cares for me and protects for me. And looks after his children. He is all those things. But he is more than all those things. So much more than all those things. In Crossroads, our inability to understand, to describe heaven is described in these terms. He holds up a flower and he says, "Look at the roots. Imagine if all you've ever seen of a flower is the roots. Yes, you may call them beautiful with their intricate twists and turns, their fine fibers, their fine filaments. They have a kind of beauty. But how do you describe to someone who's only ever known the beauty of the roots of a flower? The sun shining on the flower, the rich colors of the flower, the textures of the flower, the shape of the flower. How can you describe that? They wouldn't understand. They don't even understand light because the roots are underground." That's what it's like with us and God. He knows us intimately, inside out. He formed us in the womb. He knows every hair on our head. He knows our motivations better than we do. He knows our desires and our needs better than we do. He understands us completely and intimately. And more than that, he's died for us personally. And understands why he needed to die for us. intimately. Yet, we cannot begin to understand who he is, because he is so much more than we have ever experienced. So my message to you this morning is quite simple. Do not diminish who God is. He is more in every way than you could possibly need or understand. If heaven is being with God for all eternity, then God is enough for all eternity. I believe one of the things that God was saying to Moses was, look, don't try to understand me. Just accept, I am. Whatever battles you face, whatever struggles, whatever fears, whatever pain, whatever betrayal, remember Yahweh. Not just the Father, not just the Savior, not just the Mother, not just the miracle worker, but Yahweh. All of those and more than you can possibly imagine. When the disciples failed to drive a demon out of a boy, when Jesus came down from the transfiguration, the man said to Jesus, if you're able, please save my son. And Jesus replied to him, if you are able, all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's where we are. I believe, help my unbelief. The problem with those images, the problem with those pictures we have in our mind of who God is they shrink God to our size. He becomes someone like us. And he is nothing like us. We are made in his image, not him in ours. Jeremiah 31:3. He will say to them, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That is why I have continued to be faithful to you. I will rebuild you, my dear children Israel, so that you will once again be built up. So I just want to encourage you. When you pray, don't just pray to whatever image it is that you hold dear in your heart. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I'm just saying, when you pray, remember Yahweh. Who it is you worship. Who it is you love. Who it is you represent on earth. Who it is that dwells in you, walks with you, guides you, loves you. Don't try to understand him. Don't try to fit him into your world. Just believe. Just believe. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for who you are, for all of who you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the love that you pour into our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those promises that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you will walk with us through every moment of our lives. Lord, help us to accept the immensity of who you are. Help us, Lord, to believe. Drive that unbelief from our heart, Lord, and help us to believe that in you all things are possible. Lord, I ask it in your holy name. Amen.